going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy. At a certain point, if you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Blessings to all. This is G. Craig Lewis here again with another True Church Perspective. And you can visit us here every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Heaven 97 KHVN. That is 9:70 a.m. on your radio dial. Or you can stream us live from anywhere in the world at true-church.org. The Stronghold broadcast really brought a big response because it seems like in the body of Christ, these are the things that people are really, really dealing with. You know, it's hard to go into a church and hear about strongholds, especially when the pastor himself is struggling with a lot of things. And a lot of times we've placed things in our lives that are literal roadblocks, and they stop us from teaching the truth of the word. They stop us from being, you know, strong in what we believe. These are the things that the enemy wants to bring into our lives to stop our forward progress. You know, we're trying to live a life pleasing unto God, and I know we don't do everything perfect. I don't know about you, but you know, there are things I struggle with that I want to make sure I'm getting right. And I'm not a perfect person, and I don't think anyone is. When the Bible speaks of men being perfect like Noah and Job and different ones, God was really talking about something deeper than just doing everything right. It wasn't that they did everything right. It's just that their heart and their desire to do right, and in Noah's case, it was something genetic that it was talking about. So, you know, we have to be careful thinking that we are perfect or we can live perfect in this life. Now, we can strive for perfection in God's eyes, but perfection can also include mistakes that we've gotten the blood of Jesus to cover. So we have to be real careful with that. But we don't want to go around living a life where we constantly do the same things over and over and constantly make bad mistakes. You know, the church is getting a bad rep right now because people don't see a difference in church people or Christians as they do in the world. There is absolutely no difference. You turn on the TV the other day on TBN and you got Donnie McClurkin on there interviewing Steve Harvey as if Steve Harvey is some kind of Christian or believer. He makes fun of Christianity and different things. So that shows you, you know, TBN is so desperate right now. They're just desperate because people are learning that the junk that they've been preaching and showing on there has not worked over the years. And now it's just become like a bazaar. You know, you go to those bazaars where they're just selling anything. And I mean, they, you know, some of them still have the clamp that keep you from stealing the shirt still on there. And if it's not, it's a big old hole where that used to be. And they selling that. And, you know, that's what a bazaar is, where you could just get junk, you know. And that's what TBN and some of these stations are becoming, just big houses of junk, trying to sell you anything because they want to keep money coming in. And so they bring foolishness on there, and they bring people that have no love for God or no love for the true word on there to just try to sell you anything because they know you're supposed to be a Christian. So you're going to keep their channel on all day and let all that foolishness play in your house. Sometimes it's better to watch HBO than it is to watch TBN. Because at least they ain't trying to be anything, you know. But I tell you, we are getting so indoctrinated with this foolishness until we're forgetting that we're not positioning ourselves to be effective for God. And that's the thing. When you got strongholds operating, when you got all the things that we've been talking about, pride, when you got all these sins and you haven't mastered sin and you're doing these things, sin traps, the things we've been talking about for the last four or five sessions, when you got these things operating in your lives, you're not in a strategic position to really help anybody. I mean, could you imagine Donnie McClurkin on there interviewing Steve Harvey? Donnie is not in any kind of position to shed any light to Steve Harvey or even help him come out of the world when you're celebrating the fact that he is of the world. And that's what happens when these people are lifted up by the church. They automatically assume that they are okay. They automatically assume that they are equivalent to you. You're supposed to be a pastor and you're on there interviewing somebody who uses foul language and in his book told women that after the third date you should sleep with a man. It's time to sleep with a man while you're dating. This guy has this in his book and you're going to put him on TBN? But that just shows you where people are. People are so desperate for fame. See, these gospel artists, they're not traveling right now. A lot of people aren't booking them because the economy's bad. There's just no money for foolishness right now. So these guys are doing whatever they can to try to make a dollar, and they're doing it at the expense of God's church. But we want to talk about this today, and let's talk about it. I want to talk about little foxes. According to the Song of Solomon 2 and 15, it says, "Take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." Very important passage, been used down through the years where people say it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. What it specifically is talking about are foxes, or in biblical times they were jackals, but these little animals would come in and they would pluck the fruit off the vine. This is what the scripture is telling us. These little foxes, they were small, where you couldn't keep them out of the vineyard. You would put up barricades and different things, but they were so small that they could creep under any hole in any crevice, and they could get to your vineyard and pull the grapes off, and then your whole harvest is spoiled, and it just messes things up for your vineyard. So this is what this scripture is telling us. It's the little things that do this. They steal the fruit of the vines. Now, we as believers, we know that we should possess the fruit of God. We should possess the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 and 19 says, "But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, which is self-control. Against such there is no law." So we know God has fruit that we must bear in the spirit realm. If you say you are a believer, you should operate in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And probably next week we'll go through all of the fruits of the Spirit to explain each one of them and how they are to operate in you. But right now we're going to move on. Let's go to the 24th verse of that passage, and it says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust." So in other words, the affections of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, you that are in Christ, you crucify that, and that dies. Now, those aren't little foxes. Those are big foxes. Now, we're talking about big stuff here. We're talking about the affections and lust that leads to perversion and adultery and fornication and these things, you know, that lead to murder and all of these different railings. We know those are big foxes. So they don't come to just eat the little grapes. No, they come to just kill you off, period. Just kill the whole vineyard. You know, it's like a big bomb or something that just sets fire to the whole vineyard. But we're talking about the little foxes here. And this is very important because it's the little things. You know, you could turn on that TBN show and see that guy talking to Steve Harvey, and you can say, "Oh, well, you know, he's just doing that." But you don't understand, that is a little fox. That is one of those little foxes that comes in because it's going to cast a positive shadow on this man who has negativity that he is promoting in his life. And that is a little fox. So we got to make sure that we don't allow the little foxes to steal the grapes. This man has come in, positioned himself over him, and this man is not of God. He's stolen the grapes. He's stolen the fruit of the Spirit. 25 in that passage says, "And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." And that is very important. 26 comes in and says, "Let us not be desirous of vain glory." That's exactly what I'm talking about. Being seen, being known, desiring for your name to be great, desiring to be before the people. You know, that's one thing that Lucifer said in Isaiah 14. He said, "I'm going to mount the congregation." He's got to stand up before the people. And we know this is always usually associated associated with some kind of perversion, immorality, especially homosexuality. This is why they always seek the platform. They seek the applause of men so that they can feel okay. That is vain glory. So it says, let us not be desirous. Don't desire vain glory. Don't desire to be in Hollywood and be an actor. Don't desire to be up before the people and always desire hand claps. See, that is what is translated into our modern day preachers. Now they're desiring the spotlight. They're desiring to stand up before folks and show their latest suits and the cut of their suit and the swagger of their robe. And, you know, they want to get up and look pompous and be great and have men flocking all around them, serving them. And, you know, I was talking the other day to my family and I was telling them, you know, I love those old movies like Gladiator and different ones. I love those where, you know, there was a king or a ruler, even back in the olden days. And we can take this all the way back to the Bible days, Abraham and Moses and Joshua and these leaders that led people. I love the stories of these men because when it was time to fight and when it was time to do battle, the king would lead the way. He'd get his sword, he'd get his chariot, and he'd be out in front. Even Pharaoh and other wicked leaders, they knew that when it was time for battle, they would go out, grab their sword, and they'd be the first one in the front line. They didn't need an army of armor bearers and men around them slapping folks' hands when they try to touch them, and men around them putting Carmex on their lips and combing their hair and all that and holding up a mirror like Morris Day and Purple Rain. You know, they didn't need that. They didn't need vain glory of men, but they were fighters and brawlers, and they knew how to take up and defend their kingdom. And this is how we need to be now. But, you know, we got these pastors now that's weak and siry, glossy and shiny, and they got always have some men around them protecting them, and you go try to speak to them. They got the dude with the earpiece standing next to them. Don't say nothing to him. Don't say nothing to the man of God. Get your hand back. Don't touch the man of God. That is some foolishness. Where are the men of God, the pastors that will stand up for their church and the people in the church, stand up for the families and protect them and be a true leader? See, this is what we need. We need some men that don't need to be protected by men, but we need some men that are protected. Doors that will fight for the body. So I know I got off on something, but let me get back to this. It says, let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. So we don't need to desire to be great and to be lifted up before men all the time, because these are the little things that destroy us. Now, 1 Peter 2:1 gives us a hint into some of the little foxes that can come. And I want to expound on these real quickly. 1 Peter 2:1 says, wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speaking. Let me go through these real quick so I can lay this foundation before we get to the end of this. Malice is the desire to injure someone. And this is creeping up heavily in us because, you know, usually when you go through something at a young age, especially when you go through molestation, abandonment, I talk about these things all the time because these are the things that are plaguing our community, especially when we have a lack of fathers or strong men in the home. A lot of our children have gone through these things, abuse and neglect and rape and all these kinds of things. Well, malice sets in when something is done to you and you don't properly deal with it. You will go back and do that same thing to someone else. A lot of times when men are molested by the same sex, homosexuals or whatever, they become homosexuals, but then they desire to molest a young boy or they become a pedophile. They desire to do what was done to them. That is malice. That is the desire to injure someone else. Now, some people say, well, you have to be malicious in it and you have to want to hurt the person. No, it's not necessarily wanting to hurt them in the sense that you'd want to do it on purpose. A lot of times you want to hurt them by you just trying to fulfill your desire. So you could just be wanting to fulfill your desire, be an underage person. It'd be somebody that you just have a desire for that you shouldn't. And malice sets in where your desire for them is not the right desire. So it could by default injure them. That is what malice is. Guile is deceit to get what you want. So this is using deception, lying or cheating to get what you want. We see a lot of this, especially when dating, when people are false and phony, especially when it comes to download brothers and all of that. You know, I tell women all the time, you know, God is not going to let you marry a download brother. There's going to be some hint that this brother is download. Just the very fact that he always want to go shoe and clothes shopping with you and always wanting to comb your hair. there. That's a sign and a wonder right there. You know, there's always going to be a sign. God is going to always show you. But deceit to get what we want, that's a lot of time lying or being false to get certain things or to appear as somebody else. Envy is angered at the prosperity of another. So when somebody else is doing good or doing well, you get angry, because a lot of times that's insecurity, because you aren't happy with where you are, because you've made the wrong decisions in life. And so when someone else makes the right decision, it causes you to be envious. And we know hypocrisy is just living a double life, just not being who you say you are. And then evil speaking is speaking doom or curses on other people. And it's usually because you're not positioned the way you want to be positioned. These are little things that First Peter is telling us about that actually destroy the fruit of the vine. Now, when we're talking about the fruit, we're talking about the spiritual fruit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. I just gave you the opposite of those things because these are the things that come to destroy the fruits of the Spirit. But there are natural fruit that we are to bear as believers in Christ. We are to produce natural fruit. According to John 15 and 16, ye have not chosen me, but I chose you and ordained you, speaking of you that are listening to me, that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. So God is giving you a contingency to get the things that you need by saying, if you go forth and bring forth fruit and your fruit remains, I'm going to give you what you desire. In other words, if you work for me and do my work, I'll take care of you. And this isn't just talking about money and finances, because we know we have to work a job to get money. But this is talking about the things you need to make it in this life, the things you are lacking spiritually, the things you are lacking emotionally, all these things. God wants to bless you with these things, but his contingency is that he's ordained you to go and bring forth fruit, according to John 15 and 16. He expounds on that. 1 Corinthians 15 and 34 says, awake to righteousness and sin not. Listen to this. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. So in other words, don't go forth sinning, but walk in righteousness or right alignment, because there are some that don't have knowledge of God. In other words, what he's saying is, by your example, people will see the life you live, and you will project Christ in your lifestyle, and those that don't know God can learn of him through your walk. You know, we've gotten so comfortable in churches now where we sit back and we know the church has a mission program. We know they have an outreach program. We know they have an evangelism program. We know that they have a track passing and a door knocking program. And we know they're going out. So we just come to church and just chill and let those committees handle it. I'm just going to be a part of a church. I'm just going to give my money, and I'm going to let all those outreach programs, I'm going to let them do the work of the evangelist while I just sit back and chill in the cut and, you know, just give my money. Well, we don't understand that when we came into Christ, when we came into the knowledge of Christ, we are ordained at that moment to go out and reach those for Christ. But if sin is in our lives and we haven't awakened unto righteousness, like Corinthians 15 says, then we forfeit our opportunity to really help somebody. Now, God wants us all going out. I'm telling you, and I understand the programs that are going on in church. I understand the outreach and the missions and all that. But the true evangelism, the true witness is in the people of God, that the whole church will go out and reach the lost and reach those on their jobs and reach those in their family, just by living the life that is pleasing unto God in righteousness. When you do that, you speak volumes. Your life can speak louder than a tract can speak. Your life can speak louder than your pastor can speak. Your life, living a life of righteousness, is the key to you winning souls for Christ. You don't have to go door to door when you live a life unto God that is pleasing. You don't have to pass out tracts. All you have to do is walk upright before him. While you're on your job, while you're with your family, while you're in places where people don't know Christ, if you walk in the light of God, the light will shine on their darkness. Now, these little foxes come to stop this. These are the things that come to block the light, to cover the light, to put the light under a bushel, to steal away the savor of the salt. These are the things that come into your life. These little foxes, they come to stop your progress in God. You are no good to the kingdom if your life be hidden, according to the scripture. If your light is hidden under a bushel, it is good for nothing. Salt without savor is good for nothing. We have to keep those things in perspective, because you are a Christian, because you believe, because you have given your life to the Lord, then there is a commission and an ordination on your life. You don't have to go through an elder ceremony or a deacon ceremony. It's an ordination. You are ordained by God. According to John 15, you are ordained to go do this. But the little foxes comes to steal your ability. When malice, guile, envy, hypocrisy, and evil speaking set up in you, they counter the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance that is supposed to be in you. And when those things aren't operating, when that fruit is not operating, the little foxes have come and stolen it to try to kill the vine. Now, little foxes will destroy the natural fruit as well as the spiritual fruit, and they'll destroy it by these three things. These are the three things that they come to destroy. Little foxes come to take the fruit of your testimony. Now, this is your opportunity to really share Christ with somebody. And this isn't always telling folks, well, you know, I used to be on crack, and when I was on crack, I slept with 50 women that had AIDS and all that. No, that ain't what I'm talking about. It's just your testimony of how Jesus Christ saved you and set you free, and now you're living a life. You know, a lot of people are hooked on their testimony. They're hooked on the past all the time, and that's all they want to tell everybody is what all they've been through. A lot of times, that even gets gimmicky, and people begin to use that. That even becomes a stronghold for them to get on TV, and they can't wait to get on Oprah and tell Oprah, you know, Oprah, you know, I've been hooked on masturbation for 20 years. You know that, right? You know, and they want an opportunity to use anything they can to put them before the people or cause them to mount the congregation. This is not a good situation. Your testimony should be how Jesus Christ has changed your life now. You know, what good is it to tell everybody that while you were pretending to be in Christ, you weren't really in Christ, but you had sin constantly operating? There's no good in that. That is not the testimony you give. The true testimony is overcoming. When you've overcome sin, when you've truly been changed, now you really have something to tell. So the devil brings these little foxes in to steal your testimony, and that hurts your opportunity to speak about the goodness of Christ and what Christ actually did for you. After all, if he hadn't done it for you, then it's hard to tell people that it can be done for them. And the second way that he destroys your natural fruit is your faith. He wants to steal your faith. You grew up watching people get healed by certain things and speaking in tongues, and you saw interpretations of those tongues in church, and you saw, you know, blinded eyes opened, and you saw the power of the Holy Ghost and the fire of God get on people, and people actually be transformed right before your eyes into the newness. But now, because we're going to these places where it's all about the money and it's all about politics, and every time they open their mouth, they're talking about the president and talking about the, you know, the city council, and everybody wants, you know, all this old selling out of the gospel, and they're not teaching the truth of the word, so it can't really help you. All you know how to do is vote now. You don't know how to stand up for Christ, but you definitely know how to pull the lever in the booth, you know. And this is all they're teaching. Well, these things come to steal your faith. So when your son is stricken with an illness, when your daughter is stricken with an illness, when your husband is stricken with something, then you don't even have anybody to call. You can't call the pastor because he's somewhere campaigning for a position on the council. You can't call the first lady because she's somewhere trying to get her name recognized. And you can't call the elders of the church because they're out, you know, sleeping with the choir members. And there's nobody to call. And so these things affect your faith. Your faith, the wholeness of your faith in believing that God can do what he said. You have no elders to come lay the hands on them. You have no power operating in you. Why? Because the little foxes, they are destroying the vine. Now, this is very important because your faith begins to lack your faith in God, your trust in God to know that he can do what he says. And then the third way that foxes destroy natural fruit is your witness. Come on, people, please. When your fruit is gone, when you're not bearing the fruits of the Spirit, you have no witness. If you cussing like everybody else around you, you have no witness. If they're seeing you, you know, with this guy and that girl, and you're always with somebody else, and you're just kind of living a loose and carefree life, when they see you promoting sin and promoting the wrong thing and up in the club and, you know, listening to the wrong music, and when they see these things, it's destroying your witness. The grapes are being destroyed by the little foxes, and it is destroying your witness where you aren't in position to really help other people. So these are the three ways that your natural fruit, that means bringing people into the kingdom and people being won by you and people being saved by watching you, these things get destroyed by little foxes. So now we've got an understanding of how spiritual spiritually, there are things that happen when little foxes come in, but even naturally, we lose our ability to reach those for Christ. See, understand, this is where the devil wants the church and the body of Christ. He wants us where we're only concerned about ourselves. I need money, so I'm going to stay on this job. I like the recognition I get. I like people knowing my name, so I'm going to pursue being an actor or a performer or an entertainer because I need to be seen. You know, these are the things that the church is positioning themselves into where the church should never be involved in these things. The church can't win Hollywood to Christ. Hollywood is corrupt. The church can't win the government to Christ. The government is corrupt. But these are things that the church is infusing themselves in, and all it's doing is weakening the witness of the church and putting everybody on a self-plight. When everyone becomes self-aware, I talked about this several weeks ago, when you're self-aware, when it's all about you, when you're seeking your thing and what you want to do, then you put yourself in position where you cannot advance the kingdom of God. If we go back to Galatians 5 and 26, we read, "Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." So it's saying, don't be desirous of being lifted up. Don't desire to have your name called. Don't desire to be seen. But you know, this started in church when folks would come bring their offering up and they give it up, and then the pastor, you know, flirting with everybody, trying to, you know, make you give more. And say, "Oh, look at Sister So and so. Ain't she pretty in that big old hat? Look at her, gave $5. She got to back up and give five more because somebody said something about a hat." And you know, this went on for years and years, and now it's gotten so vain until the people that give good in church, they have their own parking space now, and they have a parking garage space, and they get special preferred seating. And you know, I mean, this has just gone too far, y'all. We have gone too far with this vainglory and seeking to be lifted up by men. This is being self-aware and being self-centered. And when we're self-centered and we seek after self-glorification, we forfeit the opportunity to produce fruit. So you got to deny yourself to even be concerned to get the fruit that's out there. You have to deny what you want to do to even be concerned about others. And this is why, to come to Christ, we must deny ourselves, because there's a world out there, people of God, that are dying without the true knowledge of God. They know about church. They know about it. They know it from watching Tyler Perry. They know how to make fun of the church. They know it by watching Madea make fun of the church, cuss, hold a cigarette, act like she's some kind of Christian, he or whatever. I don't even know what to call that thing. But people know that. They know all of that stuff because they see it. But they see the foolish side of it. They see foolishness, and they don't even take church seriously anymore. They don't take prayer seriously. So they begin to lose their testimony, their faith, and their witness. And then the world cannot be won by us when we're in this position. So we have to make sure that we protect our vineyard. We have to make sure we protect our fruit. How do we do that? By being in Christ. If you are in Christ, if you operate in Christ, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is why we got to fast. They got to go back to the foundational stuff. We got to fast. We have to take a time away from things. Turn the TV off, the music off. We have to take a time of consecration so we can make sure that we are in the position that God wants us to be in. We are living the life that is pleasing unto him, and the little foxes will not destroy our forward progress and the advancement of God's kingdom through us. Let me pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for this message. God, I thank you, Lord, for the encouragement of this message and this word. Father God, there are so many things that are going on in the body of Christ right now. And God, there are things that are serving as distractions of the enemy. And there are little foxes that are coming along to steal our fruit, God. And we have become so self-centered and self-absorbed until we're not even paying attention sometimes to what we're doing and how we're affecting other people. But I pray right now, God, that you would continue to raise up a people that will be focused on you, concerned about you, desire to please you. Father God, that their desire for themselves will be denied, and they will desire to do what you want them to do. God, there are many that just feel trapped. Father, they've made bad decisions. They've got in bad positions, and they just feel trapped. But I pray right now, Father, that they will be able to escape that trap without it closing on them. Father, we believe, God, that they will be saved from death, hell, and the grave, and they will rise when you return for us if we continue to believe and do those things that you would have us do. God, get the little foxes out of our lives. God, give us barricades to put up to protect what you've invested in us, God, so that the little foxes won't steal our fruit. In Jesus' name. We'll be back next week. with another True Church Perspective.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Visit us at truth-church.org or at exministries.com. If you desire to support this ministry with your donations, please send them to P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at truth-church.org.